Surprise! Hello friends, we are back with another bonus slash mini slash surprise pod. Kings of Anglia, Ipswich Town podcast. Mark Heath is here. We're in an office at Arch and Towers. Our studio is closed. We're recording this again on Hutchie's phone. But there's been so much happening, we couldn't wait until Monday to talk about it. So this is going to be a half hour, no nonsense podcast. We'll leave all the nonsense for the Monday show. That'll be back on Monday when the studios are opened. The boys are with me though, which is tremendous. Hutch Hogan, Andy Warren, just dribbling water down himself.
Yes. Surprise.
Wearing your excellent plum jumper. And then of course the doctor, Stuart Watson, making copious notes pre-pod, as is his wont. Boys, you all right, Stu?
I'm fine.
Excellent. Boys, there's been a lot happening. Me and Hutchie did another surprise slash bonus slash mini pod post Boxing Day and Lambo's cryptic comments suggesting he was happy to walk away. And then he's only gone and signed a new deal, boys. So what do we make of that?
What a strange old week. Is it a week? I don't know. I lose track of how long the time frame is at this time of year. I saw someone said you could make a comparison with the Craig David 7 Days song. Calls his future into doubt on Wednesday.
Are you going to start singing?
Loses at Lincoln on Sunday.
Sunday.
Gets a vote of confidence on
Monday.
Monday. Signs a new 5-year deal on...
It's not a hit.
It's not great, is it?
It needs work.
You get the point.
Yeah.
Strange week.
Strange week. So he signed a new 5-year deal, which none of us saw coming. I verily sprayed tea all over the shop when I saw Town tweet it. What do we make of it? Obviously, now we think in the Boxing Day comments were some kind of negotiation tactic, because according to your good self, Hutchie, it had been going on a little bit behind the scenes.
I don't think that had anything to do. I think much of what we were saying on the last surprise pod that we did was... I honestly felt that was just a poor expression from him of how he doesn't feel, won't ever let himself feel too comfortable. That's honestly what I thought that was. But yeah, it sounds like this has been going on for a good month or so.
Yeah.
But very much clicked into action on New Year's Day. I think the contract was rushed in a car from Ipswich to the team hotel on New Year's Day morning. So it's rushed, like blue lighted almost, to get it signed before the game. But yeah, going on for quite a while, I think.
So do you not think there was any gamesmanship at all in those Boxing Day comments?
At who though? Playing games with who? With us?
Marcus?
No, honestly.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Who was it? I read somewhere there was one of the sticking points was something to do with the backroom staff, which immediately made me think maybe that was why he was being a bit...
I don't think it was a sticking point. I think that's why it hadn't been announced already, because they were just talking to the backroom staff. Nothing's been announced by them. I'm not convinced they've all been given new 5-year deals immediately as well, but I think that was part of it, it sounds like.
I think this is the third time that, going back to those Boxing Day comments, it's the third time he's done it. He did it sort of in the midst of the relegation battle last year, which I think was a pure misinterpretation of a fairly run-of-the-mill question from BBC Suffolk's Brenna Woolley, where he just asked him, as much as you've done off the pitch, would you have wanted a few more points on the board at this stage? And that sparked the, if he wants to sack me, I'll go, I'll quit, I'll walk away. And we had all of that last year. Then we had it again on the eve of this season, you know, with the most downbeat press conference ever going into the opening game of a season. And that resulted in Ipswich signing Kane Vincent-Young. I'm convinced looking back that there was a little bit of games being played there to put a bit of pressure on Marcus for that deal. So I think Paul can handle these things a little bit clumsily at times. I get the sentiment of no manager is only ever a few games away from the sack, and I get that, but to sort of say I don't know if I want to be here and all of that was a little bit weird. But anyway, we're here now. He signed the 5-year deal. And I guess the timing of it is a little bit strange given the run of form that they're in, and he still had 18 months left to go on there. It's a statement to the fans, I guess, from Marcus to say he's here to stay. This is a project, so you may as well all get behind him.
Good move. Yes or no?
I don't think it's a bad move.
Diplomatic.
I think it's just the timing of it. It's not entirely necessary move, but I completely get what Evans has said in his statement regarding continuity, building from the top, building something to last, building something so that it's in place. Maybe if they don't achieve their main goal this season, there's a bit of continuity there. Is this a statement from Evans? Maybe taking a bit of the one season success pressure off? I don't know. For me, the timing of it is the funny, the intriguing side of it. I'm not sure it's a bad move as such. It's the longest contract Evans has given out, which seems a little strange given previous situations, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, just strange timing.
I'd be surprised if there's not some kind of clause in there that, you know, if Ipswich don't get up in X number of years, there'll be some sort of break clause, both that works for the club and for Paul, I would imagine. That's not something they're going to be shouting about, but if you remember, Alan Pardew got an 8-year contract at Newcastle, which was meant to be a big statement about longevity, and that didn't work out so well, did it? It's just before my time, but people talk to me about how Robson at one stage was getting a little bit of few grumbles from the crowd in his direction, and he got called in by the Kobolds the very next day, and I think he was expecting the tin tack, and they said, here's a new contract for you, and that was a message to the fans to say he's here to stick with him. So perhaps there's a little bit of that as well from Evans at the moment.
And an acknowledgement as well. A lot of the acknowledgement from Evans was in what Lambert's done already in terms of bringing fans back to the club, bringing new fans into the club. Was it Paul said recently that Evans told him he'd given the club its heart back? If your boss is saying that to you and then you're rewarded with a longer stay, that kind of all adds up, doesn't it? If that's Evans thinking, then great. But yeah, just the timing of it amidst the run that they're on and the slide down the table is just a little puzzling. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad move. Certainly not.
It might be a message to the players as much as the fans as well, in that Paul Hurst has come and gone quite quickly. And I think we've alluded to this before, that there was an element of player power probably involved in that. And players are more powerful than ever before now. Fans have a lot of influence on owners' decisions, but players do as well, and that might just be a bit of a message to the players to say he's here to stay, so you buy into what he's trying to do now. You know, there's no chance of you all sort of not pulling your weight and getting behind the manager. He's here, so might be a message to them as well as the fans.
Before we move on to the football, Stu, you just referred to someone getting the tin tack, which I've never heard before. It's obviously rhyming slang. What's that?
You've never heard that phrase?
No. What's tin tack? I know it means sack, obviously. Clearly it means sack, but what is the tin tack?
I don't know what just, the tin tack
it
is.
It just rhymes with sack, doesn't it?
Oh, okay. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Boys.
I'll look it up after this.
Let's move on to the football. Obviously, we talked about the Gillingham game on the last time we did one of these bonus / surprise / mini pods. They lost 5-3 at Lincoln on Sunday. It was Sunday. And then they drew 1-1 with Wickham. You were there on New Year's Day on Wednesday. Very brief recap, if we could, of both games. So, Stewie, you were at Lincoln, 5-3, dreadful, 5 goals conceded, not good at all. Your thoughts?
5 goals conceded is not acceptable. It's not as if they were playing one of the leading lights in the division. If you look at the form table over the last 6, 10, 12 games, Ipswich are right down there, and so are Lincoln. Lincoln had been really struggling for goals. They were a 1 goal a game team, so to concede 5 at their place is not good, not good at all. But there were elements of that performance that I took positives from in the first half. They played some decent stuff. They deserved to equalise at 1-1. They were on top, and we're now talking quite a lot about never being able to sort of capitalise when they're on top in periods in games. That was the case again. The timing of that goal right on half time when Norris comes charging off his line. To concede that goal in first half stoppage time was a killer blow. Again, they get themselves back into the game out of nowhere. Second half, 2-2, come and then kick on Ipswich. No, they conceded 2 really poor goals. And the fifth is just a case of everyone chucking themselves forwards to try and get one once they'd got it back to 4-3. But not great when you're conceding 5 goals at Lincoln. And the concern is that, having looked so watertight at the back earlier in the season, the goals have started to dry up, and maybe that's putting a little bit more pressure on the defence. I don't know.
And from there, Hutchie, Wickham on New Year's Day. You were there. It was on TV, of course. Town didn't lose on TV, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Much better, though, at Wickham.
Yeah, better. Definitely better. More intense. After the Lincoln game, there was a one-hour lock-in. No beers.
Yeah.
No after-hours stuff. Just honest chat. And I think you can see the fruits of that on the pitch at Lincoln, at Wickham. Sorry, the intensity was there. They were playing higher up the pitch, and when they did get the ball down and play, they were keeping it better and playing more patiently. It created chances. Alan Judge had three good chances. He'll be disappointed not to have taken one of those. And if he had, they'd have won the game. But a really, really good goal, Ipswich goal, gave them the lead. Quick thinking from a free kick from Judge and Garbutt, and some good movement and a good header from Norwood. But then they've conceded another silly goal. Akinfenwa came on, and within a couple of minutes, he'd changed the game. He changed Wickham's approach, changed what Ipswich had to deal with. They didn't deal with the first real ball to him. Wilson got beaten for a flick-on, and that flick-on's bounced between Wolfenden and Chambers, and there's Will Norris again. He's come out, probably didn't need to be out quite so far, so quickly, and he's been lobbed again.
That is one of the major talking points post-game. Obviously, we do the game day videos, which young Ross, producer Ross, does. He is in the office today. He's just had a delivery of Jaffa Cakes from his mum, but there's just not enough space in this room to have him with us. He will be back on Monday. Don't panic, fans of Ross. Anyway, he spoke to numerous fans after the game. One of them said, "I never want to see Norris play for Ipswich again. Why is he our goalkeeper when Holy is much better?" And obviously, there has been a constant issue with rotating the keepers. Is that something now we want to see the end of? Put Holy in goal and stick with him?
For me, yes. And that's not just that. I think that's a tad dramatic to sort of say to write Will Norris. Will Norris is a good goalkeeper. He's at Premier League Wolves for a reason. He's been given a long contract at Premier League Wolves for a reason. Perhaps, I mean, I thought he was decent right up until Boxing Day. And now he's had three fairly erratic performances on the spin. I thought he got away with a lot of stuff against Gillingham. He's at fault for the goal at Lincoln, we've discussed. There's an element of fault for the Wickham goal now. Is that because of this whole rotation thing with the goalkeepers? Is that you're feeling that you have to really try and do something special every game to keep your place? This could be an argument against the rotation, that players are feeling an element of nerves every time they step onto the pitch. But I want to see Holy in goal because he's Ipswich Town's goalkeeper and he's become a really popular figure. He was part of that record chasing clean sheets run at the start of the season. Just play him. And I don't care what the contract is with Wolves about, whether it costs you more money that he doesn't play, whether he gets recalled if he doesn't play. I'm sorry, if that's the case, then deal with it. And you've got Shibek, who's done well in the EFL Trophy. You've got Harry Wright, who they see as someone as having a decent future. If you feel like you need to go out and get another goalkeeper, do that. But Holy's got to play for me.
I think he will play this weekend at Exeter, and then it'll be interesting to see who gets the league game. One of Holy's real strengths is coming off his line quickly and making those decisions correctly. I'm not sure he would have been beaten. Yes, but he would have been lobbed for both of them, despite being 6'9". They still would have lobbed him had he been in that position, but I'm not convinced he would have been. And he did very little wrong, really, did he? It was up until the Accrington game. He was the number one playing all the league games. Did very little wrong, really. And from that Accrington game onward, it's been one in, one out. I'd agree with Stu. Not because Will Norris is a bad goalkeeper. He really isn't. But three games is a long run for an Ipswich goalkeeper to have in the first place in the team, and to have not convinced in them, I think the fair thing is give Holy a go.
One other item of note, of course, before we move on to this weekend and other stuff. We had the return of a dribbling Bishop at Wickham. Fantastic. You spoke to Luke Chambers about Bishop. He had a lot of glowing things to say. How excited are we? How big a deal can the return of Teabags himself be?
Don't call him Teabags.
Teabags to the Ipswich Town... I can't see it catching on, actually. Ipswich Town team. Bishop is back.
Luke Chambers says, "I didn't speak to him. Pete behind the curtain. He was in the programme."
Oh, okay.
but he says he can transform the team if he can get fit and stay fit. We've talked about him loads on here before, haven't we? But he's just got something different. He can dribble between the lines, break the lines, move it, switch up the pitch on his own. But there's just that big if, isn't there? We know what he can do, but there's just a big question mark over whether he can do it due to his body.
You excited to see him back, Stu?
Very much so, yeah. I think he could be change, he could add a real different dimension to the team, a completely different dynamic, something that they've lacked since Vincent Young's injury. I know they're completely different positions, but somebody who can run at people, and we're seeing teams set up to frustrate Ipswich at times, that are organised, that raise their games, and I think Bishop is someone that can pick the lock. Ipswich have been probably guilty of trying to bash the door down and got kind of sucked into some wars of attrition at times, and I think he could add a little bit of subtlety and a little bit of class. But as Andy says, you know, there is always going to be that question mark hanging over him in terms of injuries, and it's important not to expect too much too soon from him.
This injury, I don't know about you, Stu, this injury feels a little different in that a lot of the injuries he's had before have been sort of almost at the beginning were like growing injuries, and he had knocks,
muscle injuries,
setbacks, breaking down when returning. This one was a freak tweak of the knee, and although not good, it's kept him out for 5 months. It kind of feels to me like maybe I'm clutching, maybe I'm just hoping because I like him so much as a player and as a person as well, but maybe I'm just clutching at it, but it does feel like hopefully this one was just a bit of a freak injury that he's fully recovered from. And then
he was certainly looking good in pre-season. Yeah. I remember us talking in the press boxes over in Germany and saying he almost looks like he's got an extra yard of pace, and that he was looking properly back at it, and that's why it was such a body blow when he got that injury. But you know, we've been talking about deficiencies in an Ipswich Town team for many years now. Right back was one. It looked like they'd finally got it sorted with Vincent Young. He gets injured. But central midfield has been another one, and somebody who can score goals and create goals from the middle of the park. It's been a decade-long problem. It's no coincidence that the year they finished sixth and got in the playoffs, Teddy Bishop played a majority of those games. So to get him back would be huge.
Before we move on to Exeter this weekend, the transfer window has swung open before it slammed shut at the end of the month. We'll talk more about this on Monday's pod because I want to really get into what might happen, your thoughts on that. But there has been a little bit of a link this morning, so you just put online before we come in here. It's Liam McClendon, is that right?
I think it's McClendon.
Sorry, McClendon. Apologies, Liam. What do we know about him? Is that something to be excited about or not? Or is it just one of these things which happen at this time of year where someone tweets about it in a bedroom somewhere and it flares up?
It's from a reputable journalist, isn't it, Stu, this one? Was it from Pete O'Rourke? Who's generally at least in the ballpark on these kind of things.
Yeah, he seems to be sort of well connected with football agents. I think formerly of Sky, now runs Football Insider. So I would imagine there is a semblance of truth there in it. And whether it's an agent just trying to get something going on him or not, I don't know. But I think it's clear that Ipswich are looking to maybe add to the attacking options. It's interesting. I'm just having a little look at some footage of Liam. He's a left footer.
Striker,
yeah. Scored 10 goals for a top half Halifax side in the National League. He's out of contract now. He signed a short-term deal, so he'd be a free agent. Do Ipswich need another striker? You've got Keane back up to speed now, Jackson, Norwood, Sears coming back into it, Drinan coming back into it, your man.
Well done, Hutchie.
He could play this week.
Well done.
Genuinely, he could finally be making his Ipswich debut.
People have been talking about him, everything, haven't they? By name.
Yeah, so this could happen.
Read Hutchie's piece if you've missed it.
Jordan Roberts, Ben Morris, Ben Falami back in amongst it. Do you need to go and get a 26-year-old from the National League? I don't know. It depends. I don't know enough about him, but if they think that he's got different qualities to bring to the party, then maybe.
He's had a good schooling, hasn't he? Was he a Wolves youngster? So it's a slightly different. He's not a kind of a non-league riser through the non-leagues. He's been with Wolves, dropped down, and is on the way back up again, but I'm not sure it's really what they need right now.
Jordan Shipley's the other one that they've been linked to at Coventry, who looked decent in the three games that the Coventry week when they played him three games in 7 days or whatever it was. He's another lefty, and I do wonder if Lambert feels like there's an imbalance there in the top end of the pitch. I think if Lancaster is fit, they play him wide right, cutting inside on his left foot. He likes his inverted wingers, and I don't think he's probably felt that he's had the personnel to do that. So the fact that you've had two of these kind of attacking, left-footed attacking midfielders / strikers linked might be something in that.
Mm. Okay, so we'll get into that properly on Monday. I want to do a proper look at the transfer window on Monday and various things that may or may not happen and your boys' thoughts on it. But let's move on now to Exeter on Saturday, tomorrow, EFL Trophy time. Town of three wins from Wembley. How tremendous would that be? Surely, boys, they've got to go to Exeter with the big guns out. Obviously, A. Drizzy starting up front.
Is he the biggest of big guns?
And Jay Robs. That would be the dream, wouldn't it? A. Drizzy and Jay Robs up front.
That is not impossible, my friend.
Oh, that would be amazing. Oh, that would be amazing. Anyway, so boys, EFL Trophy time. Town, as I say, so close to Wembley now. They are by far, probably you would say, the biggest team left in the competition. Maybe Portsmouth would have beef with that. But this is a genuine chance to get to Wembley. Surely, Lambeau is going to go for it tomorrow.
There's going for it, and then there's what I think Ipswich will do, which I don't think we're going to see teenagers in. We're not going to see Henderson. We're not going to see Gibbs. But I do think we're going to see your Totos, your Kenlocks, your Will Keens,
yeah,
and Aaron Drynan maybe on the bench. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that kind of team, and I think that represents giving Ipswich a chance of winning this game. Yeah, three wins from Wembley. It's, and at a time where you're searching for a victory.
Yeah.
It would maybe take it a little bit more seriously than you might have done had you been romping the league at this point.
Yeah, I think there's context to the sort of team that will be put out. Ipswich need a win. And to get one in this competition and then suddenly be two games from Wembley, I think would give everybody a real boost that they need at this moment in time. The fact it's been moved back to a Saturday as well means it doesn't feel like it's in the middle of such a congested fixture list. But I think Andy's right. It won't be kids, but it will still be sort of fringe players. But come on, Ipswich. We're talking about Ipswich Town, fringe players, rotation players. You know, you just mentioned there, Will Keane, Dizel will probably get a game. Nsiala, who, whatever you think about him, is a proven League One player. Kenlock's played plenty of games now. Danasia might come back in. Holy, we've just been talking about. That should be a strong enough team to go to Exeter. As good as they're flying in League Two at the moment. I think they're second in the table, but even so, you know, that should be a good enough team.
It'll be interesting to see how Exeter treat it as well, because looking at their group games, I think they use different players. They made changes for their group games. Do they see Wembley as being realistic as Ipswich see Wembley when they're very much gunning for promotion with a smaller squad? I don't know. I don't think we'll know until the team sheet comes out.
They've come very close the last few years, haven't they? They've had a few sort of fourth, fifth type finishes. Promotion to them would mean, just as Ipswich financially, promotion outweighs anything in the Cups. So I looked at their team from earlier rounds, and they've been playing a mixture of fringe players and kids, so they might not even put their strongest team out either. Mm. But I would suggest that Ipswich need a win more than Exeter do in this game.
Mm. Right, so a prediction, please.
I think they'll win. I think they'll win 2-0.
Positive, like it.
Ipswich being.
Dr. Watson.
Yeah, I fancy an Ipswich win as well.
Score?
Oh. Score 2-1.
2-1. Excellent. And then Town will be two wins away from Wembley. Boys, I think we're coming up to the half an hour mark. I just want to finish on a light-hearted note, because obviously this has been a very serious podcast.
Thought we were saying no nonsense.
No, this isn't nonsense. This is a question from one of the KOA Army, who contacted us via Facebook ahead of what would be our normal slot on Monday, saying, this guy called Tom Baines, I'm guessing you'll do mailbag appeal for the pod. He wants to know, I'm soon to be a dad today/tomorrow, so hopefully, Tom, it's all going well if the little one is here. any dad hacks from Hutch or the Doctor? Your best parenting advice, please, to young Tom. And look, do let us know, Tom, how you're getting on and what the little one is called.
You're going to need early day hacks, aren't you, here? All I would say to you is get involved in the first poo. Because get yourself started in at the deep end.
Yeah.
It's like you could tarmac a road with the first one. It's yeah. black and sticky. Get involved. And if you can conquer that one, you're away.
Agree with that, Stu?
Yeah. All I would say is it does get better on a sleep side of things. Crack the first 3 months and it gets easier from there.
No, it doesn't. but crack the first 18 months.
Yeah, and then you've got a chance.
Then it might.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. Lots of people will give you lots of different advice. Everybody has different parenting styles. You do what works for you.
But really enjoy your paternity leave.
Yeah.
Make the most of that. It's a lovely couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
And also, Tom, if it is going really badly, there's always adoption. So there you go. That's an option. Boys, there is another question which Sindre has asked, and he asked specifically for the live pod. We're going to get to that on Monday, Sindre, because it involves Roscoe, and obviously he's not around physically in the room with us at the moment. But boys, that's coming up to the half-hour mark. It's been a nice little bonus slash surprise slash mini pod. Any other business before we take our leave?
No other business.
No other business.
Excellent. We'll speak to you again back in the studio on Monday.
Having a barn dance.